Our reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written. He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. You may be seated.
Yep, here it is again.
Money. Wow. I don't know about you, but money is something that I have to deal with every day. Every day I have to buy stuff with money. Gas or groceries or coffee or lunch. Every week I receive appeals for my money about where I need to be spending my money, giving money, and investing money. Every month I pay the bills, do the banking. Money, money, money. A good part of my life deals with money. And so it's the same thing with you, isn't it? The truth is that money is an important part of your life. It takes center stage in our culture. Every day we hear about how the economy's doing. And for those of you who are investing or self-invest, I'm sure you're checking to see just how your investments are going. And it shouldn't surprise you when I tell you that money plays an important role in the church. Every Sunday, you're encouraged to give money in order to support the life-changing ministry here at I Falls Covenant. See, it all takes money, money, money. So today I want to talk about one part of money, and that's giving, but particularly the blessings of giving. Now, to be honest, if we were going to be honest, sometimes I don't think we see giving as a blessing, more like a curse. It's something I have to do, or there goes the preacher again. You know, in the church, they always talk about money. You'll hear people say that. But hopefully after today, when I talk about giving, you'll have a change of heart. Because today I'm talking about the blessings of giving, because first of all, giving blesses God. Giving blesses God. Now, not all giving blesses God, to be sure, but there are five specific types of giving that bless God. We bless God with our willing giving. With our willing giving. The Bible says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. In other words, the amount of giving is not important. The attitude is. Giving in a way that honors God is always based on willingness, not on wealth. It means that when you ask God about giving, you don't ask, okay, God, how much do I have to give? You ask, God, how much can I give? How much can I give? You have given me so much, I want to give back to you. And so 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, you must make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So never give reluctantly. Well, I suppose. And never give under pressure. You know, like when we pass the offering plate five times. You'll notice we don't do that. No, we don't want to put pressure on you. We just do it once. We just do it once. Give as a result of worship. I don't want you to give because you feel pressured to give. As a matter of fact, please, if you feel that way, don't give. Okay? I didn't clear that with the leadership team, but just don't. Don't bother. No, because you see, giving is a privilege. As you walk with God, you give in response to His love. We also bless God with our thankful giving. Psalm 116, how can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? I can't. I don't think you can either. We will never be able to repay God for all that He has done for us. Every time we give our offerings to the Lord, we're actually saying, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you for giving me a purpose for my life. Thank you for my family and friends. Thank you for taking such good care of me. You see, when we give, it's not paying off your debt to the Lord. We can never do that. That's just not going to happen. But it's a thank offering from a very appreciative heart. We bless God with our joyful giving. Our joyful giving. Bible says, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, the word cheerful in the Greek, in which the New Testament was written, it's the word hilaros, from which we get the word hilarious. Okay? And I think that's a bit ironic, because if you think about it, when we take the offering, I mean, it's pretty mellow, pretty quiet. We'll hear some nice music, and we take the offering. But God wants us to be hilarious in our giving, excited, thrilled to give. The offering should be the high point of the service, not the low point. It's our personal response to a generous God. Giving is fun. It's a treat. It's a pleasure. I got a friend of mine who's a pastor who, I think when they take the offering, people are cheering and clapping. Okay, it's one of those kind of churches, but still, I think that would be okay for us. I speak as a Norwegian background, you know, so it'd be a stretch, but it's okay to stretch sometimes. So we bless God also with our priority giving. Bible says on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Notice it says on the first day of the week. God wants it to be a weekly reminder of who has first place in your life. When you give the first part of your money on the first day of the week, you're saying, God, you are number one in my life. You are number one in my life. Now, for some of us, we give weekly. For some of us, we may give every 2 weeks. Kind of depends on when we're paid and when we do our banking. Personally, I do banking once a month. So when I work on bills and banking, I make sure that my tithes and offerings amount is set aside so that God can show me where to give and who to give it to. Because giving is a priority. It's a priority in our lives, okay? And then we bless God with our generous giving. Bible says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Well, this is basic stuff here. This is the law that every farmer lives by. Now, if you're a farmer, and you got 5 acres, and you go out and you sow, you put seed on 1 acre, I don't think you expect to reap or to have a harvest of 5 acres. No, you're going to have a harvest of weeds for 4 acres, but you'll have 1 acre where you planted the seed. That just makes sense. You don't sow 10 acres and expect to reap 100 acres. But because wherever he sows, that's where he will reap. Now, that's the law of sowing and reaping. So when it comes to giving, It works like this. You plant the seed, and God will provide the need. Now remember, it's in proportion to your income. You give generously, God blesses you generously. You give sparingly, God gives to you sparingly. You need more income? Give some of your income to the Lord and watch it multiply. The problem with this is that some people say, you know what, preacher, that sounds really good. As soon as God gives me lots of money, then I'll think about giving some of it. But that doesn't require any faith. You give first. You prime the pump. That's how it stretches your faith. What you sow, you reap. And by the way, you cannot outgive God. I'm not sure how many of us have tried that, but you cannot outgive God. The more you give, the more God gives back to you. So willing giving, thankful giving, joyful giving, priority giving, and generous giving. See, that's what the Bible means by giving. That's the kind of giving that blesses the heart of God. You see, it's one thing to say something. Oh, I just love Jesus. I just want to follow Jesus. And those words are great. But somewhere along the line, you have to back it up, don't you? You have to back it up by the way you live. And this is one important part of our lives. It's our giving. And when you give to God with those attitudes, He knows you mean what you say. He knows that you really do love Him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, "Freely you have received, freely give." Your giving shows your love to God. So if you give with these five attitudes, your giving will bless God. Your giving blesses God. But there's something else you need to know today. Your giving blesses you. Your giving blesses you. I'm talking about it will transform your relationship with Jesus. It will make you a different person. How does that happen? Well, let me tell you. First of all, giving makes you more like God. Giving makes you more like God. God is a giver. And everything that you have is a gift from God. The gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of health, the gift of family, the gift of a job, the gift of provision. And when you give, you're just like your Heavenly Father. Never are you more like God than when you are giving. Never are you more like God than when you're giving. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave." You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Giving makes you more like God. There's another way that giving blesses you. Giving draws you closer to God. Giving draws you closer to God. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wherever you put your money, that's where your heart is. So if you put your money into entertainment, that's where your heart is. If you put your money into your house, that's where your heart is. That's what you love the most. If you put your money into clothes, that's where your heart is. If you put your money with the Lord, it will always draw you closer to Jesus. It will always draw you closer to Jesus. That's why Jesus talks so much about money. Not that He needed the money. Not that He was telling people to give up their money for no reason. But He knew it had everything to do with our hearts and our relationship with Him. There's another way that giving blesses us. It protects us from materialism. It protects you from materialism. 1 Timothy 6, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So first it says, command those who are rich. Who's that? That's all of us. If you live in America, you're rich. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you may not believe this, but you're rich. Go ahead. See, I bet you didn't know that. Now you do. You could be the poorest American, but you're richer than the rest of the world. The Bible says it's okay to enjoy life. It's all right to do that. But true living comes from giving. I love this statement. I think you've heard it before. I have, but this is it. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And there's another way that giving blesses us. Giving strengthens your faith. It strengthens your faith. God uses finances to test your faith. You ever notice that? I'm sure you have. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you've had to decide between paying a bill and a generous gift to a very needy cause, you know there's a test going on there. And God is saying, do you really believe that I will help you take care of your bills? Or do you think you have to take care of them on your own? If it's to be, it's up to me. Sometimes that's what we think. The Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room for it. I love that verse. It's a great verse. We quote it often. But that's an Old Testament verse, isn't it? Did you know that the New Testament doesn't require tithing? It doesn't require it. Tithing, I'm just talking about the top 10%. It doesn't require it. That's because it's a good jumping off place. In the New Testament, they just gave. They gave to people who had need. They gave of what they owned. They sell what they had to give to those who were hurting. They didn't think about that. They didn't come up with that nice, neat percentage. So the 10% was always the nice bottom place that everybody jumped off from. It's a different way of looking at giving. It's the over and above giving. Now, God is testing us in order to build up our faith muscles. Money is God's weight room. Money is God's weight room. Now, I remember when I was younger, doing a lot of weightlifting. You'll just have to take my word on that one. Okay? But in weightlifting, of course, you gain strength because of this thing called gravity. You've got this weight, and the weight wants to go down, and you bring it back up, and that's what strengthens you. That's what builds up your muscle. Well, in giving, it's the same thing. Only this time, you strengthen your faith by exercising against selfishness, against the fear of not having enough, against human nature that says, it's my money, I earned it, I'm going to hang on to it. That's what you're exercising against. So every time I make out that tithe check to the church, or every time I give generous gift online to Covenant World Relief, or I help out a friend or a neighbor, I am taking a step of faith. I am saying, I believe in a big God who will provide for all that I need. And so when we give generously, our faith grows. We grow. Faith is all about trusting God to take care of us. And the Bible is filled with promises about giving and God's provision. And so giving gives God the chance to do a miracle. Giving gives God the chance to do a miracle. So the question is this: how big is your God? How big is your God? My giving strengthens and stretches and tests my faith. And there's one more way that giving blesses you, and I think this is pretty cool. Giving prepares you for heaven. Giving prepares you for heaven. Now, you all know when it comes to money, you can't take it with you. In my experience in the ministry, I've had a lot of funerals, and never once have I seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it. Not once. Can't take it with you. But the good news is, you can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead. Jesus said, store up treasure in heaven. Well, how do you do that? Well, you send it on ahead by investing money in people who are going there. So 1 Timothy 6, they should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity. Jesus said that when I give to somebody else, when somebody has a need and I give, I'm giving it to him, to Jesus. When I give to other people, I'm storing up treasure in heaven. Well, think about it this way. Let's just have a picture here. Okay, you've got this person who, they're a believer. They have followed Jesus, and they get up to heaven. And as they get up to heaven, you know what? They're just taken in by the beautiful sights, and they want to meet God, and they meet God, and wow, that is just totally overwhelming. But somewhere, they just kind of keep looking around. You wonder, what are they looking around for? And they finally say, okay, God, where's my mansion? I mean, not that it's a big deal, but where's my mansion? And God's going to say, let's see. That would be that little shack right over there. Shack? What do you mean? I believed in Jesus as my Savior. What are you talking about, God? Well, God's going to respond, and he's going to say, you know what? I'm glad you believe. That's good. That's why you're here. But you see, that's all the building material you sent on ahead. Are you storing up treasure in heaven? This past Christmas, we watched The Christmas Carol, of course, by Charles Dickens. We do that every Christmas. I don't know about you guys. And of course, you've got the old miserly Scrooge, who was storing up judgment for himself by holding back from his giving to those people in need. But he had a change of heart, which really makes the story. And the new generous Scrooge, he can't give his money away fast enough. It's a whole different thing. He's storing up treasure in heaven by giving to help the hurting and the sick and the poor. And so the question is this. Which one are you? The old Scrooge or the new Scrooge? You see, we all have a bit of Scrooge in all of us. We just have to decide which one it is. Am I going to be the old Scrooge or the new one? God prepares you for heaven by investing in people. Giving prepares you for heaven by investing in people who are going there. Proverbs 11. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Whatever you give, you're going to get back. When you are generous in giving to others, you will be blessed. Yeah, I love that. Psalm 112. Good will come to him who is generous. Giving blesses you in return. I found it interesting that Carl Menninger, he's the dean of American psychiatry, who founded the famous Menninger Clinic. He said this once about giving. He said, giving is a criterion of mental health. Generous people are rarely mentally ill. Interesting. So I want to leave you with the final thought on why you should give, on why giving is so important for your life. by looking at a few key words in the Bible, okay? Did you know the word believe is used 272 times? Well, you'd say that believe is an important word, right? That's a kind of the core of our faith. 272 times. The word pray is used 371 times. So our prayer ministry, you can just kind of hang on to that statistic, okay, Roger and Betty? 371 times. The word love is used 714 times. Wow. We know it's important to love. But did you know the word give is used 2,162 times? More than three times out of love and almost eight times more than the word believe. If you're going to study the Bible, you eventually have to study giving. God so loved the world that he gave, and he wants all of us to become like him. So here's your challenge. Do you want to become more like God? Do you want to be closer to God? Do you want your faith strengthened? And do you want to start investing in eternity and laying up treasure in heaven? If you want those things, then start obeying God in this area of giving. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, it's just a funny thing how money can be so controversial to people who don't want to give it and who don't get it, and yet so wonderful to those who have learned the joy of giving to others, of giving to you, that although they use money, they earn money, and they use it wisely, they invest it wisely, most of all, they invest it in your kingdom. And they see it as an investment. Lord, we know there's a lot of ways for us to throw away our money, and we do. And some of that stuff's just having fun, enjoying life. You got no problem with that. But the main thing is, where's our heart? Where's our heart? Because if our heart is close to you, if our heart wants to draw closer to you, then where our heart is, that's where our money's going to be. So God, help us to learn this important lesson, this practical lesson of what it means to be a Christ follower. Capture our money so you can capture our hearts. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.